Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktivinoda. So today we'll read from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 18, The Lord's Visit to Sri Vrindavan, text number 16. Govardhana Dheki Prabhu Hoela Dandavat.
Govardhana Dheki Prabhu Hoela Dandavat.
Eka Shila Alingiya Hoela Unmata.
Eka Shila Alingiya Hoela Unmata.
Govardhana Dheki Prabhu Hoela Dandavat. Ekashira alingiya hoela unmata.
Ekashira alingiya hoela
unmata. Govardhana dheki prabhu hoela dandavat. Ekashira alingiya hoela unmata. Govardhana Dheki Prabhu Hoela Dandavat. Eka Shira Lingiya Hoela Unnata. Ladies. Govardhana Dheki. Seeing Govardhan Hill. Prabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hoela Dandavat. Offer obeisances like a straight rod. Ekashila. One piece of stone. Alingiya. Embracing. Hoela. Became Onmata. Maddened. Translation. When the Lord saw Govardhan Hill, he immediately offered obeisances, falling down to the ground like a rod. He embraced one piece of rock from Govardhan Hill and became mad. Om Agyana Chimirandasya Ganam Jana Sarakaya Chakshurun Militam Gena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So we have that vision right here. Today is a nice festival day, not just Govardhan Puja. It's also Bali Dvaitiraj Puja, the appearance day of Rasikananda Prabhu, the disappearance of Basu Ghosh Prabhu, and Gopuja. So Dvaitiraj Bali Maharaj, everybody knows the story, apparently, because Vamana appeared on Vamana Dvadasi about 6 weeks ago. We just had a Dvadasi last week. So apparently what happened was it took some time for him to appear, to go to the sacrifice of Bali Maharaj, to trick him and take the universe from him. And then finally on this day is the day that Bali Maharaj finally surrendered everything. You may remember that he took two steps and Bali Maharaj had offered him three steps. So he said, I've taken the whole universe. You're a cheater. You didn't give me the complete dhan that you told me you were going to give. And Bali Maharaj said, if there's anything I don't want, it's to be a liar and a cheater. So you please place your third footstep upon my head. Apparently that is today. So that's why today is worship of Bali Maharaj. He became Mahajan for that complete surrender. Also, it's the appearance of Rasikananda Prabhu. Rasikananda Prabhu is like third generation Gaudiya Vaishnava. There's Lord Chaitanya, then his immediate associates, we know the six Goswamis, Swarup Damodar, Ramananda Rai. Then I think everybody pretty much knows the history and the story how Jiva Goswami collected the different writings of the other Goswamis and sent them in a bullock cart to Bengal to have them copied, because during that time there was no printing presses. Shamananda, Srinivasacharya, and Narottam Das Thakur were the three devotees depicted for that chore, that task, and they brought the books, and there were different adventures as they went along, and finally they went to their respective places. Srinivas stayed where the books were stolen. Narottam Das Thakur went back to Khetri, and Shamananda Prabhu was from Orissa, so he went to Orissa to preach. And here's one pastime for his disciple, Rasikananda. It's very beautifully written, so I thought to read it would be nice. His name was also called Murari. He was known as Murari Rasika, Rasikananda. One day Murari was sitting in a lonely place, wondering when and where he might become so fortunate as to get the shelter of a lotus feet of a spiritual preceptor, still a young man. Just then a voice from the sky addressed him, "Don't be in anxiety. You will become the disciple of Shamananda." Having heard this proclamation, Rasika Murari became very jubilant and began repeatedly murmuring the name of Shamananda as though japa. Shamananda, 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 Shamananda. From moment to moment, his eagerness increased without diminution. Tears flowed from his eyes by chanting the name of Shamananda. He was in such a state that he spent most of the night sleeplessly, calling to his master, Shamananda. Finally, toward the early morning, he drifted off to the land of dreams, where he saw his spiritual master, the very figure of charm and grace. Smiling, Shamananda informed him, "Tomorrow, when the eastern sky becomes tinged with pink, you will attain me." Saying this, Shamananda disappeared. Rasikananda's heart began to swell in ecstatic bliss. Then with the first rays of the morning sun, which dispelled the darkness of the world, the wise Murari sat silently watching the path. After some time, Shamananda approached from the distance, looking as beautifully effulgent as the sun, surrounded by his disciples like Sri Kishore Das and others. His smiling face was like a lotus flower that opens to greet its friend, the sun, and his chest was as broad as a doorway. His captivating appearance and all the more irresistible by the sweet sounds of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Nityananda, emanated from his lotus mouth. Absorbed in intense love, he moved along the path like clouds move in the sky. When Rasikananda caught sight of this divine form, he fell down in front of him to touch his lotus feet. In great ecstasy, Shamananda embraced him and began to bathe him with tears of ecstatic love. Sri Rasika Murari then felt himself to be one of the most fortunate living beings within the entire universe. On an auspicious day, Shamananda initiated Rasika and his wife with Radha Krishna Mantra. And after that, Rasikananda began to travel with his guru, during which time he became a very intimate disciple. Rasikananda Prabhu became so prominent and so big a preacher. This was early 1600s, so there was still Mohammedan governance in that area. And just like we read with different devotees, there were still terrorists at that time. And one king, zamindar of a local area, became very envious of Rasikananda. And he sent an elephant, one of the famous stories is that he sent an elephant to crush him, to kill him, so that his influence would dissipate. But Rasikananda chanted Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to that elephant and made him become a devotee. It's also said that he made two tigers become devotees. There's a lot of mystical stories about Rasikananda. And if you ever get the opportunity to go to the famous temple in Raimuna of Shir Chora Gopinath, where Madhavendra Puri got the kheer, Rasikananda Prabhu's samadhi is in the temple courtyard. What happened was that he went there later in life. There was a big kirtan. He went up and touched the lotus feet of Kshira Chora Gopinath and disappeared. So that's Rasikananda Prabhu. It's also the disappearance of Vasu Ghosh. He was one of the kirtan leaders in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, especially at the beginning in Srivasangam, when the Harinam Sankirtan movement was just beginning. Everybody knows that. Does anybody know the line from the Gaura Artik that... Yes, these three were brothers. Gaura Gona Desh Dipika. Do we have a microphone, by the way, Madan? Today is going to be a interactive. Oh, good. According to the Gaur Gonadesh Deepika, Sri Govinda, Sri Madhava, and Sri Vasudev Ghosh were in Brajalila as Kalavati, Rasolasa, and Kuntija, or Kutungi, Sakis. We know that after his pastimes in Vrindavan, Krishna wanted to take the mood and complexion of Srimati Radharani and then come back and experience Advent and experience her emotions. So when he did that, all of Krishna's associates also wanted to come and assist and take part in that Leela. Today we'll be reading about his Leela when he came back to Govardhan Hill as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Vasu Ghosh was also there amongst them, beautiful Kirtaniya. And we know everybody's experienced it. If there's a good Kirtan leader, it's so pleasing to the heart. So Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and all the associates, very much like Vasudev Ghosh's Kirtans. Also today is Gopuja, worship of the cow. Nice purport from the third canto. Lord Krishna, as teacher of human society, personally showed by his acts that the mercantile community or the Vaishyas should herd cows and bulls and thus give protection to these valuable animals. According to Smriti regulations, the cow is the mother and the bull is the father of the human beings. The cow is the mother because just as one sucks the breast of one's mother, human society takes cow's milk. Similarly, the bull is the father of human society, because the father earns for the children just as the bull tills the ground to produce food grains. Human society will kill its spirit of life by killing the father and the mother. It is mentioned herein that the beautiful cows and bulls were of various checkered colors, red, black, green, yellow, ashen color, etc. And because of their colors and healthy smiling features, the atmosphere was very enlivening. This was when Uddhava was remembering Lord Krishna when inquired about Krishna by Vidura. So I was thinking today, because we read the 10th canto and the pastimes of Govardhan Hill rather recently. And yesterday, Leelananda gave a really nice class, beautiful overview of the whole pastime. So rather than repeating that, I thought that it would be nice if we follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on parikrama around Govardhan Hill. So we'll go to the various places, describe them, read about them. But if anybody else has anything, because it's unlimited, if anybody else has any realizations or remembrances of places where they went on Govardhan Hill, when we're at that place, please let me know, raise your hand, we'll send the microphone and we can kind of churn the glories of Govardhan Hill. Why worship Govardhan Hill? It's a hill. But there are so many different things that happened at Govardhan Hill. I'm hoping that it will reveal its glories by these descriptions. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna, come back to Govardhan Hill. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed through the Vrindavan, herds of grazing cows saw him pass, and immediately surrounding him began to move very loudly. Seeing the herds approach, the Lord was stunned with ecstatic love. The cows began to lick his body, out of great affection. Becoming pacified, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to caress the cows, and the cows, being unable to give up his company, went with him. It was only after, with great difficulty, that the cowherd men were able to keep their cows back. Then, when the Lord chanted, all the deer heard his sweet voice and approached him. When the does and bucks came and saw the Lord's face, they began to lick his body. Not being at all afraid of him, they accompanied him along the path. Bumblebees and birds like the parrot and the cuckoo all began to sing loudly on the fifth note, and the peacocks began to dance in front of the Lord. Upon seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the trees and creepers of Vrindavan became jubilant. Their twigs stood up. They began to shed tears of ecstasy in the form of honey. The tree branches and creepers, overloaded with fruits and flowers, fell down at the lotus feet of the Lord and greeted him with various presentations, as if they were friends. Thus all the moving and non-moving living entities of Vrindavan became very jubilant to see the Lord. It was as if friends were made happy by seeing another friend. Seeing their affection, the Lord was moved by ecstatic love. He began to sport with them exactly as friends sport with friends. Thus he voluntarily came under the control of his friends. Last week we read about the appearance of Radhakund. So now from Radhakund we'll go along the hill, which doesn't exist today, but 500 years ago we see that. From Radhakund, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Sumanas Lake. Anybody know what Sumanas Lake is today? Yes, very good, Kusum Sarovara. When he saw Govardhan Hill from there, he was overwhelmed with joy. When the Lord saw Govardhan Hill, he immediately offered obeisances, falling down on the ground like a rod. He embraced one piece of rock from Govardhan and became mad. Kusum Sarovara, at that end of Govardhan Hill, is a place where the gopis used to go and pick flowers. On the banks of Kusum Sarovara, there's a nice little Uddhava temple. Of course, we know that when Uddhava was in Mathura, last week we spoke about how Radhakund, the appearance of Radhakund, happened just before Krishna left for Mathura. So if we follow the flow of rasa and how these people grew up with Krishna, his childhood pastimes, as we're reading this month about Damodar, and then various other developments as he grew older. Finally, he's coming into this Kaishora age. It's very conducive for intimate, loving pastimes between boys and girls. And just when that was starting to blossom is when Akrura came from Mathura and from Kamsa to take Krishna and Balaram away. So the nature of love, the nature of rasa, is that it has the two different aspects of meeting and separating. So when the meeting was just starting to blossom and grow and increase, that's when Yogamaya arranged for Krishna to leave, and why all the residents of Vrindavan were feeling such separation. It's because of that intimacy growing. It wasn't just the relationship, it was actually other elements of it were beginning to enter and grow as they started to enjoy their pastimes in private at Radhakund and at this end of Govardhan. Knowing that such pastimes were unparalleled, Narada Muni wanted to witness them. So across the path from Kusum Sarovara and down a little bit towards Govardhan, if you cross the road and walk down a path, there's a kund there called Narada Kund. Because he wanted to witness the pastimes of Radha Kund, just like Lord Shiva wanted to witness the Rasa Lila pastimes, but when he came there, what happened? Oh, no, you're another man. We don't want any other Purusha, we don't want any of the other men here but Krishna. So in the same way, Narada Muni was told by Vrindadevi that you take a female form, then you can approach the Radhakund Lilas. So Narada took bath in that particular kund. If you go there, there's a nice little deity of Narada Muni also. So he took bath and went and witnessed the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna and all the gopis at Radhakund. And then Krishna told him, you write about this pastime. You write about bhakti, the glories of bhakti. So what is the name of Narada Muni's book? Narada's? Yeah. How many verses? Any idea? 16. Prabhupada translated, and I think Satsvarup Maharaj translated some more. Yeah. Anything else about that? Oh, and there's also one little temple there where Krishna used to braid Srimati Radharani's hair. So that's a very beautiful part of Govardhan Hill. So now we'll continue along the path. And apparently 500 years didn't make that much difference, because between Kusum Sarovara and Radhakund, The hill is now practically completely disappeared underground because it's disappearing the size of a mustard seed every day. But after Kusum Sarovar, as you go towards Govardhan town, you can start to see the hill as you circumambulate and come there. So now the hill's growing. Enter the town of Govardhan and come to, oh, there's one place where Krishna's footprints are. When I was younger, we couldn't go there because the hill was actually manifest, but apparently now a lot of devotees go in there, and there's one place where Krishna's footprints, when he would play his flute, the stones would melt. There's various places in Braj where Krishna's footprints are present in the stone. And the verse which reveals that was spoken by the gopis. My dear friends, as Krishna and Balaram pass through the forest with their cowherd friends leading their cows, they carry ropes and bind the cow's rear legs at the time of milking. When Lord Krishna plays on his flute, the sweet music causes the moving living entities to become stunned and the non-moving trees to tremble with ecstasy. These things are certainly very wonderful. It's said that when the little calves, I think everybody's probably seen a calf go for its mother's milk. They are very enthusiastic and intense. But when Krishna would play his flute, even though they were sucking milk from their mother's teat, they would become stunned and their jaws would drop and they just listened to that beautiful sound vibration. So even the stones would melt, and apparently this area in Govardhan where Krishna would perform his Rasalila, some of the stones melted and his footprints are still there today. Continuing along into Govardhan town, becomes quite busy, but in our minds we can kind of Photoshop everybody out and have nice Manasi Ganga darshan. Manasi Ganga is a big lake in the middle of Govardhan town. One time the Brijbasis were preparing to go on pilgrimage to go bathe in the Ganga. And Krishna was seeing them just like we read about Krishna watching them, seeing them perform a sacrifice. So he went to Nanda Maharaj and he said, "What are you doing? What is everybody preparing to go?" And they said, "We want to go and bathe in the Ganges to become freed from all our past sins. We're going on pilgrimage." And Krishna thought, "Why should everybody go there and leave Braj?" And he meditated, Manasi Ganga, and he brought the Ganges personally from his power of his mind, and she manifested there. And no one would believe it, that this is Ganges, although the water came. So then he asked her, "You please reveal yourself." And Mother Ganges, on her alligator carrier, came out of the water, and all the different Brijbasis had darshan of Mother Ganga, and therefore they knew, oh, now we can just bathe in Ganga here. On the banks of Manasi Ganga, there's another kund called Brahma Kund. After Lord Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, we all know that Lord Indra, Sarabi, Airavata came and bathed Krishna. A little less known story is that Lord Brahma also came and bathed him. So there's a kund there. Mad with ecstatic love, excuse me, the Lord came to the village known as Govardhan. There he saw the deity named Haridev and offered him obeisances. Haridev is an incarnation of Narayan, and his residence is on the western petal of the lotus of Mathura. Mad with ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to dance before the Haridev deity. Hearing of the Lord's wonderful activities, all the local people came to see him. The people were astonished when they saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love and personal beauty. The priests who served the Haridev deity offered the Lord a good reception. At Brahmakund, the Bhattacharya cooked food, and the Lord, after taking his bath in Brahmakund, accepted his lunch. Haridev, remember last week we spoke about Vajranab? Who remembers the genealogical line of who Vajranab is? Microphone? We told last week, 7 days ago, 10 days ago, it was on a Saturday. Vajranab. Who was Vajranab's father? Who was Krishna's principal queen? Who was Rukmini's first son? Pradyumna. Who was Pradyumna's son, one of the ten, that was the father of Vajranab? Aniruddha. So he's the great-grandson, and he installed the Haridev deity. Nice temple. Kind of small, up at the Darshan area, but there's a really nice place for dancing and chanting. And apparently Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing and chanting. It's said in the Mathura Mahatmya that one should bathe in Manasi Ganga and offer his obeisances to the Haridev deity before going on Parikrama. So paying obeisances to Haridev, back out onto the Parikrama trail. Now, 5,000 years ago, of course, Govardhan was much bigger. And one time, Vasudev, who was in Mathura, wanted to hire the Brahmins to go to Govardhan, go to Vrindavan, and do a sacrifice for the benefit of his sons. Although he knew that the people of Braj didn't know Krishna was his son, but everybody knew that Balaram was Vasudev's and Devaki's son. So he sent the Brahmins to go do a puja near Govindakund, which didn't exist at that time, but there was that area of Govardhan. The hill was real large, small village near there. And they set up everything and began to send word out that we are giving a benediction to anyone who brings ghee for our sacrifice. All your desires will be fulfilled in life. And all the village people started to hear about this wonderful sacrifice that the sages were performing, and the benefit of bringing ghee. And Radharani and her sakis were at Radhakund when the word reached them that they could go and get this kind of benefit by bringing their ghee to the sacrifice. So they put their ghee pots on their heads, and they were beautifully walking along the path of Govardhan Hill, and word got to the cowherd boys who were nearby that the gopis were coming to go to the sacrifice. So Krishna arranged the toll booth. He said, well, he'd been waiting. Two books have been written by the Goswamis. One is the Don Kali Chintamani by Raghunath Das Goswami, and another book called Don Kali Kamudi by Rupa Goswami, describing this whole pastime, how the gopis, their beautiful features, walking down the path, and Krishna and his friends set up a toll booth so that when the gopis came, Krishna stopped them and said, no, 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 you can't go to the sacrifice until you pay tax on all that ghee. And then what he does is he starts to tax them with all their beautiful features, all their beautiful bodily features. And they become angry, and they start to say, we're going to tell Kamsa. We're going to go and we're going to send word that you're setting up. You're not a bona fide toll tax collector. And then he starts to go more and more towards Srimati Radharani and getting her ghee. And then everybody starts saying, we're going to get her husband, Abhimanyu. And he's very strong. He'll come in and beat you up because you're not a bona fide tax collector. So especially Srimati Radharani became furious with Krishna when he did this. And here's the beautiful descriptions by Rupa Goswami of the mixed emotions of Srimati Radharani. May the sight of Srimati Radharani's kilakinchita ecstasy, which is like a bouquet, bringing all good fortune to all. When Sri Krishna blocked Radharani's way to the Dangati, there was laughter within her heart. Her eyes grew bright, and fresh tears flowed from her eyes, reddening them. Due to her sweet relationship with Krishna, her eyes were enthusiastic, and when her crying subsided, she appeared even more beautiful. So Radharani became so upset and so disturbed by this nonsense cowherd boy that was taxing her that she actually began to cry. And she was enthusiastic, so many mixed emotions. It's called kilakinchita ecstasy. And he also, these are actually introductory verses to the play. All glories to Radha's love for Krishna, the enemy of the demon Mura. Although it is all pervading, it tends to increase at every moment. Although it is important, it is devoid of pride. And although it is pure, it is always beset with duplicity. So finally, an arrangement was made that they would come back the next day and pay Krishna his toll in the form of more intimate pastimes, and Krishna allowed the gopis to go to the sacrifice. So continuing on, now we start to go, if you've been there, you take a left and you go down and you start to walk next to the hill. ISKCON built a temple there, Keshava Bharati Maharaj is there, Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And at that point at Govardhan, you can take one of two paths. You can continue along the road where all the vehicles go. Or if you walk to the inside a little bit, there's actually a trail that's still very powdery sand, powdery soft, almost like talcum powder dust around Govardhan. And that walk is very beautiful because as you walk along the hill, you can see the huge hill. You can see how it's long and all the way around, cows, peacocks, parrots, even today are still there. And as you come and walk along, you get closer and closer to the town of Añora. Añora is on one side and Yatipur is on the other side. Añora is where Krishna, when the Brijbasis brought all the different paraphernalia for Indra's Yajna to Govardhan Hill. You remember they put all the different pakoras and chapatis and rotis and sabjis and sweets on the hill and were offering it, and Krishna entered the hill and took the form of the hill and started to enjoy all the offerings that were given by the Brijbasis. And then he wanted more, so he was saying, Añora, Añora, give me more, give me more. And they just kept, the more that they gave. So this is why that town, how that town became known as Añora, because Giri Govardhan just wanted, so he wanted that love, he wanted that offerings to just increase unlimitedly. Down at the base of that town is where Govindakund lies. As you walk from Añora to Govindakund along that nice path, there is often many cows. There's a few temples on the banks of Govindakund. Govindakund is where Lord Indra came. Vivananda told a very nice story yesterday how Krishna went to a secluded place. He didn't want Indra to be embarrassed. And offered his prayers, and Sarabhi came, Ravati came. They bathed Krishna. So that nice kund there. Now Govardhan, because it's such, what we're doing is trying to churn the glories of Govardhan Hill. So even 500 years ago, 600 years ago, before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Madhavendra Puri was doing Govardhan Parikrama. And he came to Govindakund and bathed. Then he sat on the banks of Govindakund. And Madhavendra Puri was on such a level of devotional service that he wouldn't even do Marukari. Marukari is where the Babajis don't cook for themselves or maintain themselves, but they go from home to home and stand outside the door and rade rade. And then the ladies of the home give them some chapatis or some sabjis or something in their tiffin, and then they go to the next house, rade rade. And then another chapati and some more sabji come out, and like this. So they get a little bit from each house, and then they go to their private place and they take prasadam. Madhavendra Puri was on such a level that he wouldn't even do that. We know from the story of Raimuna. When he was coming to Vrindavan, he stopped in Raimuna and he took darshan of Gopinath, and then his mind was thinking, oh, nice kheer they offer here. Oh, his mind was disturbed, so he didn't, and he left, if you remember, and he was in the marketplace when Shri Chota Gopinath stole the kheer and had the Brahmin send it to him. So Madhavendra Puri was simply sitting and meditating in ecstasy, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, on the banks of Govindakund. And this little cowherd boy came up, very beautiful cowherd boy with a stick and his rope. And he said, Baba, what are you doing? Why are you fasting? No one goes hungry in this village. The ladies saw you sitting here, and one of them gave me some milk. So you take this pot of milk and you enjoy, and I will come back for the pot in a little while. And then that boy disappeared. So Madhavendra Puri was, oh, nice village. It was a nice, beautiful boy. Who was that? So he chanted, and then night came, and the boy, he kept waiting for the boy to come back and get the pot. But that boy didn't come, and later in the night, As he dozed a little bit, then that boy came to him in a dream and said, "Oh, Manavendapuri, I've been waiting for a long time for you to come and serve me. I am Giri Govardhan, the lifter of Govardhan Hill, and in the form of a deity, very near here. I was put by my previous pujari, the Muslims were attacking, and they put me into the ground and hid and never came back. I'm so hot, and I want you, please, you serve me." And then he disappeared. And Madhavendrapuri realized that he had had darshan of Lord Krishna the day before as a cowherd boy when he awoke. And he was feeling, again, that mixed, "Oh, I saw Krishna. Oh, but I missed him. Oh, but he brought the milk. Oh, but now he asked me to serve him." And all these different emotions were raging in his heart. And he went to Anyura, and he told the local people that, "I've had a dream. Giri Govardhan is in the jungle there. So we should get your farming tools and come out and help me. Let's excavate that deity." And of course, we know the story, how all the different people came there and dug through the thickets and opened, and then finally, Srinathji, Krishna, who had his left hand up in the air, beautiful, another deity installed by Vajranab 5,000 years earlier, manifested itself. And then that deity was brought onto the top of Govardhan Hill, and all the different villages around the area were bringing and offering cows and offering different things, and gradually a temple was built. Now when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, he didn't want to go on top of Govardhan Hill, considering himself a devotee and Govardhan Krishna. So he was thinking, "How I'm going to see that deity? It's too bad that I won't be able to take darshan." But by Yogamaya's arrangement, someone came and told the pujaris that there's an invasion coming, the Turkish, the Mohammedans are coming, the Muslims are coming, we better move Gopal. So they moved him to a nearby town, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was able to go and take darshan just at that same time. Same thing happened with Rupa Goswami at the house of the son of Alabhacharya, Vitthaleswara. Now, from Govindakund, instead of going directly around the path, if you go left, there's Sankarshan Kund, and then out in the distance a little bit, there's another village called Paita. Paita is, it's said, where Krishna actually entered under the hill so that he could lift it. And also, during the Rasa dance, there was a nice pastime that took place. During the season of springtime, when the Rasa dance was going on, suddenly Krishna disappeared from the scene, indicated that he wanted to be alone with Srimati Radharani. Krishna was sitting in a solitary bush, waiting for Srimati Radharani to pass by. But while he was searching, the gopis arrived there, just like a phalanx of soldiers. "Just see," the gopis said, seeing Krishna from a distant place. "Here, in the bush, Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj." As soon as Krishna saw the gopis, he was struck with emotions. Thus he could not hide himself, and out of fear became stunned and motionless. Krishna assumed the four-armed form of Narayan and sat there. When the gopis came, seeing him, they spoke as follows. "Hey, he's not Krishna. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan." After saying this, they offered their obeisances and following respectful prayers. "O Lord Narayan, we offer our obeisances unto you. Kindly be merciful unto us. Give us the association of Krishna, and thus vanquish our lamentation." After saying this and offering obeisances, all the gopis dispersed. Then Srimati Radharani came there and appeared before Lord Krishna. When Lord Krishna saw Radharani, he wanted to maintain this four-armed form to joke with her. In front of Srimati Radharani, Sri Krishna tried his best to keep those four arms, but he was completely unable to do so. The influence of Radharani's pure ecstasy is so inconceivably great that it forced Krishna to come again into his original two-armed form. From the Ujjvala Nilamani by Rupa Goswami. Prior to the Rasa dance, Lord Krishna hid himself in a grove just to have fun. When the gopis came, their eyes resembling those of deer, By his sharp intelligence, he exhibited his beautiful four-armed form to hide himself. But when Srimati Radharani came there, Krishna could not maintain his four arms in her presence. This is the wonderful glory of her love. So continuing along the path of Govardhan, come to the end. The opposite end of Radhakunda and Shyamakund is called Punchari. Punchari, we read yesterday how all the Gandharvas and Apsaras and the whole universe, Lilananda described that so beautifully, how he said it was a local village event, but became a cosmic commotion. Everybody came and was stunned by Krishna's arrangement of defeating the king of heaven by holding up Govardhan Hill, and they were all glorifying him. So there's two kunds there. There's Apsara kund and Gandharva kund. And there's also, if you go on the outer trail, there's one temple of, what's his name, Lota Baba, one of Krishna's friends. When Krishna went to Mathura, he sat down. He was at Govardhan. He sat down. He said, no, I'll wait for Krishna. He'll come right back. And the mood of that pujari, the mood of the deity of Krishna's friend, is that he's still waiting for Krishna's return. So then continuing along up the other path, on the other side of Govardhan Hill, you pass Sarabi Kund, Surya Kund, Airavata Kund, and finally come to Yatipur. Yatipur is a big village for the Vallabhacharya Sampradaya. And when you come in there, there's this big part of the hill that's kind of been caged off, probably about as big as this temple, so the monkeys won't come in. And what happens is that they have that nice way that you can go there and you can get a little cup of milk and do abhishek. And jalebis, there's a little nice town there. There's a nice pastime that I always remember there for some reason. When he was older, and it was difficult for him, Sanatana Goswami was still walking around Govardhan Hill, doing parikrama every day, offering dandavats, meditating on all these different pastimes of Govardhan. And Krishna, being merciful upon him, saw that, my God, he's got arthritis, he's getting old, it's hard for him to walk. So Krishna manifested himself before Sanatana Goswami and gave him the Govardhan Shila with his footprint, a cow print, and a little stick print in the stone, as we talked about previously, and said, Sanatana Goswami, you simply walk around this four times and it will be equal to walking around Govardhan Hill. So Sanatana Goswami used to do his bhajan at Govardhan, and when he departed and everything, his nephew, Jiva Goswami, took that same Govardhan Shila, and now it's at the Radha Damodar temple. Continuing along after Yatipur, coming back towards Govardhan, there's the place where, if you remember, Krishna during the Rasa dance disappeared, and the gopis went mad, running from tree to tree, looking all around, wondering, where is Krishna? Can you tell me where he is? Where is Krishna? Otosi, Okunaga, Okadamba. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And they started to imitate his pastimes. So that's along there. One time we were walking there, and a whole bunch of devotees, and somebody started to talk about Sankirtan in New York. So it was kind of an arrangement where we were walking along the hill, and all of a sudden when we got to Govardhan Hill, we realized that for the last 10 minutes we hadn't been at Govardhan. We'd been in New York because we were talking there. So I'm trying to do the opposite today. Although we're in Alachua, we're trying to be in Govardhan Hill. So then you arrive in, again in Govardhan town on the other side of it. There was Dhangati on that one side. Now you're coming around from the other side. And Manasi Ganga, you're on the other side of it. And on this side of it is where there's a nice bhajan kutir of Sanatana Goswami where he used to stay. And just next to that, there's Takaleshwara Mahadev temple. Pran Govinda told me his pastimes there the other day when he was he stayed there for some time with one of the Babajis that was performing his bhajan there as a young boy, and he told me that Padmalochan came, and at that time Pran was so sick, he was just lying there wondering if death was coming. He'd been to ISKCON in Mayapur before, and Padmalochan, our godbrother, came and saw him and said, oh, what are you, Bengali boy, you have been to ISKCON? He said, yes, I went to ISKCON about a month ago. And he gave him some money and said, you should go to the Krishna Balaram temple. And because you're Bengali, you look up Bhakti Charu Maharaj. He's one sannyasi and he will help you. So So Pran Govinda has his checklist for a Sanatana Goswami Manasi Ganga Leela at that place. When Krishna was holding up Govardhan Hill, the Sudarshan Chakra was on top of the hill, spinning around. So all this stuff that Indra and the Samvartaka clouds were throwing down, nobody was bothered. Not even Govardhan, it says that the goats and the different things went up to the top. They didn't go under it, they were on top, some animals. But they were feeling no, because Sudarshan Chakra was on top, protecting it from all the different things. And Mahadev, in the form of five Shivalingas, is present there. So that's Chakraishwara. And then you continue along the path back up to Radhakund. I wanted to read one more pastime that reveals Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood toward the worship of Govardhan Hill. We remember that when Raghunath Das Goswami came to Puri and gave up everything. He was rich man's son, but gave it all up and got to the point where he was so renounced, he wasn't even going to the, just like Madhavendra Puri, he wasn't even going to the booths. When he first went for some time, he was going to the booths. He was receiving money from his father a couple times a month. He would invite Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for lunch. Now all of a sudden he stopped a couple years later. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Swarup Damodar, why did he stop inviting me for prasad? And he said, because he's getting money from some wealthy materialist, he's thinking that you're not very pleased, so he's renounced it. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased with Raghunath Das. And he spoke, if one goes to the booth where free food is distributed and fills his belly with whatever he obtains, there's no chance of further unwanted talk. And one can very peacefully chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again bestowed his mercy upon Raghunath Das by giving him a stone from Govardhan Hill and a garland of small conch shells. They're not actually conch shells, they're gunja berries. Previously, when Sankararanya Saraswati had returned from Vrindavan, he had brought the stone from Govardhan Hill and also the garland of gunja berries. He presented Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with these two items, the garland of gunja berries and the stone from Govardhan Hill. Upon receiving these two uncommon items, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was extremely happy. While chanting, he would put the garland around his neck. The Lord would put the stone to his heart, sometimes to his eyes. Sometimes he would smell it with his nose or place it on his head. The stone from Govardhan was always moist with the tears from his eyes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say, this stone is directly the body of Lord Krishna. For 3 years he kept that stone in the garland. Then, greatly satisfied by the behavior of Raghunath Das, the Lord delivered both of them to him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Raghunath, this stone is the transcendental form of Lord Krishna. Worship this stone with great eagerness. Worship the stone in the mode of goodness, like a perfect Brahman. For by such worship you will surely attain ecstatic love of Krishna without delay. For such worship, one needs only a jug of water and a few flowers from the tulsi tree. This is worship in complete goodness when performed in complete purity. With faith and love, you should offer 8 soft tulsi flowers, each with 2 tulsi leaves, one on each side of the flower. After advising him how to worship, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally offered Raghunath Das that Govardhan Shila with his transcendental hand. As advised by the Lord, Raghunath Das worshipped the Shila in great transcendental jubilation. Swarup Damodar gave Raghunath Das 2 cloths, each about 6 inches long, a wooden platform, and a jug with which to keep water. Thus, Raghunath Das began worshipping the stone from Govardhan, and as he worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, directly in the stone. Thinking of how he had received the Govardhan Shila directly from the hand of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Raghunath Das was overflooded with ecstatic love. The amount of transcendental bliss that Raghunath Das enjoyed simply by offering water and tulsi is impossible to achieve even if one worships the deity with 16 kinds of paraphernalia. After Raghunath Das had thus worshipped the Govardhan Shila for some time, Swarup Damodar one day spoke to him as follows. Offer this Govardhan stone 8 kaudis worth of first-class sweetmeats known as khajat and sandesh. If you offer them with faith and love, they will be just like nectar. Raghunath Das then began offering the costly sweetmeats known as khaja, which Govinda, following the order of Swarup Damodar, would supply. When Raghunath Das received from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the stone and the garland of kunjaberries, he could understand the Lord's intention. Thus he thought as follows. By offering me the Govardhan Shila, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has offered me a place near Govardhan Hill. And by offering me the garland of kunjaberries, he has offered me shelter at the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. So it's interesting that this happened years before, and then later in life, when Raghunath Das came to Vrindavan, he stayed at Radha Kund, which is at the banks of Govardhan and Srimati Radharani. Raghunath Das's transcendental bliss was boundless. Forgetting everything external, he served the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his body and mind. Who could list the unlimited attributes of Raghunath Das Goswami? His strict regulative principles were exactly like the lines on a stone. Raghunath Das spent more than 22 hours out of every 24 chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and remembering the lotus feet of the Lord. He ate and slept for less than an hour and a half, and on some days that also was not possible. Topics concerning his renunciation are wonderful. Throughout his life, he never allowed his tongue sense gratification. He never touched anything to wear except a small torn cloth and a patchwork wrapper. Thus, he very rigidly executed the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Any more comments or questions on Govardhan Hill? Ramanya?
Thank you. Well, this is an amazing, so many unlimited pastimes. Can you go over there? I'm just remember one in Srila Prabhupada at the end, you know, 77. He wanted to go around Parikshit.
Nice. Thank you.
And go over here, right? Remember? So much back and forth pastimes with disciples. Prabhupada wanted to go. So we are all sannyasis. We can sleep on the trees around Govardhan, right? We renounce this. So anyway, Prabhupada wanted to go. And then, at the end, in 77. 77, he didn't go.
No, he didn't go. They arranged the bullock cart. They got everything ready, but he was...
That's what I'm saying. There was back and forth.
What happened was that they wanted to take him.
Yeah.
And he was very enthusiastic. Lokanath Maharaj got the bullock cart and everything. Then the devotees went to Prabhupada and said, "Sure, Prabhupada, please.
Yeah.
What happens if you leave while you're doing this?" And then Prabhupada gave up and said, "No, okay." So that's all I heard.
He was very ill, very sick. And then he said, with his godbrother, Kinchana Krishnadas Babaji, "See how much they love they have for me. They don't want me to go through too much trouble." It's a whole pastime there. But anyway, that is one thing. And the other one, which because of Prabhupada's mercy, we have all these Nectarian pastimes. And one of the very, very important instructions, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta gave it to Prabhupada and Radha. One of the parikrams said, wherever you have money, print books. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada said, "I got this instruction direct from my Guru Maharaj. If you have money, print books." So it's amazing. These great Paramahansas, they were looking also for the preaching movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, no? The book distribution and the pastimes simultaneously. So Prabhupada says also, I was in Radha Kund and some of the Babaji's. They told me, "Swami, don't go to the west. Why you want to go there? It's very simple. People there, it's hell. Stay here in Radha Kund and Govardhan, chanting Hare Krishna. Don't go to the west." Prabhupada said, "If I will listen to the Babaji's, I would never go to the west. I'm following the instructions of my Guru Maharaj." He said, anyway, Hare Krishna.
You're talking about 77, right?
Yeah.
That he didn't go. That's true. But he did go to Govardhan with enthusiasm with Tamam Vishnu Maharaj and other. Giriraj Maharaj was narrating this story.
Really?
How Prabhupada loved that he was showing the Govardhan. Before, not 77. So I was going to say that origin of this Govardhan is also narrated by Radhanath Maharaj in Golok Vrindavan. When Srimati Radharani and Krishna are having intimate pastime, then Srimati Radhika asked Krishna, "What is the feeling you have for me? how much love you have for me. Just out of curiosity, she asked. Then Lord Krishna found a little seed in his heart, started growing. And he pulled it out, placed it out, and started growing a beautiful mountain. And then he blocked it with the hand.
He had to stop it from growing, right? It was growing, it was becoming all expansive.
Yeah.
And then
that's
he had
the
to
origin
stop
of,
it.
Origin of Govardhan in Golok Vrindavan.
Nice, beautiful.
And then how he came to Dronacharya, Sangoli did the whole big pastor. In the Anior, when Lord says, bring more, but he was not satisfied. The Balaram happened to be there, and he says, where is the Tulasi? So he gave a Tulasi on the Haridev's hand, and says, Triptosmi, I am satisfied now.
Ah, very sweet. Nice, thank you. Giriraj Maharaj ki jai.
Hey.